grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 10, beginning at the 34th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, Martha's brother Lazarus had died. And, quote, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, and you know the words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now, Martha is often criticized for putting the anxieties and the worries of this present life ahead of the priorities of the life to come, for sacrificing the teaching of Jesus and the teaching about the kingdom to come in order to do what?
Serve.
To get dinner on the table, to serve the guests. And the Lord says to her, "Your sister Mary has found the thing that is right. Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about many things." But here in John chapter 11, Martha gets it right. She gets it right on the money. She is a woman of faith. She says, "I know that my brother will rise again at the last day." And she says, "Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of God who is coming into the world." Now, if he is coming into the world, that means that he must be coming from someplace else. And the Bible speaks of it. The Bible talks about that place where the streets are paved with gold, where the gates of the city are one solid pearl, where thousands upon thousands of the children of God from every tribe and nation are in white robes washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, because that's the only way you get clean before God. They're singing the Lord's praises, and there is there no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. The old order, in other words, what you see around you right now. Matter of fact, we even pray about this in the Lord's Prayer. What do we say? We say, "Lord, thy will be done here on earth in the old order. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's always done there. And that's good. And that's right. And because of that, in every way you want to be there with the Lord, you want to get to be there with the Lord. You don't want anything to get you off the path to that place. You don't want it to be things like what you possess on earth or what you have attained on earth or what you love on earth or what you want to keep on earth or what you want to get on earth. You don't want those things to get in the way. Because it has happened to many people before you. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Somebody in the crowd, it says, shouted out to Jesus. He said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to the crowd, he said, "Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, For a person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. But what does it consist in? Does it consist in the abundance of your friends? Does it consist in the abundance of your family? Does it consist in the abundance of people who like you and think well of you and respect you and look up to you and seek counsel from you? Is that what the abundance is? If it is, then today's gospel lesson is going to smash that in pieces. Jesus said this. He said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, it is difficult, extremely difficult for a modern American person to understand the amount of pressure that a culture like theirs, a clan-based culture, can put on you. To put on you to conform, not to rock the boat, to put the group first, to put the family first, and then to portray Jesus as a betrayal, of tradition, a betrayal of custom, a betrayal of ancestors. Probably our Hispanic or Asian friends understand it a lot better than many of the rest of us do, but even the rest of us can find these words troubling. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Now, wait a second. I thought I read in my Bible, Jesus said, love others, love your neighbor. God is love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't the Lord say something about doing your best to be at peace with all people? Doesn't the Lord in his commandments say, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you and you may live long upon the earth? And the answer to all those questions is yes. That's what the Lord says. He says all of those things are true and they are valid and they are the way to go unless you are trying to find a way to split the difference. To find a way to, well, go with the Lord, but also go with everybody else. Like King Solomon, who we are told in the Bible knew the Lord, but then he also built temples to false gods to keep his wives happy. Why did he do that? You know the old saying, happy wife, what? Happy life. Now, what do you do if you got 700 of them? Happy wife, happy life. He builds temples to false gods to keep them happy, to keep them affectionate toward him. And when a person starts doing such things, it looks, or at least begins to look like, they love their life here maybe a little too much. That they love something here or someone here maybe a little too much to go with the Lord. Or it's possible that the opposite may be true, and that is that they love their life too little to go with the Lord. Too little do they care to find out what 1 Timothy chapter 6 calls the life that is truly life. Or what St. Paul talks about in the book of Colossians chapter 3, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The Lord says, love that life. Don't love that life too little. Well, a person might say, no, I guess I'll rather have death, mourning, crying, or pain. No, you're not going to say that. If you're a Christian person, you aren't. You are ultimately, as a child of God, you want to be found where? You want to be found with the Lord. And you want to be found with the Lord in glory. And you want to be found with the Lord. That's the thing that matters. It is true what we talked about before. The streets are paved with gold. The gates of the city are one pearl. Thousands of thousands of children of God sing God's praises from every tribe and nation. They're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. They wear white robes. There's no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain. The old order of things has passed away. But ultimately, what is the center? What is the goal? What is everything about? Jesus said, where I am, there my servant also will be. In the present, and in the life to come. And in today's gospel, he says, in the present, there may be a sword instead of peace. In the present, there may be enemies in your own household because you're a child of God. In the present, there may be taking up your cross and going after the Lord Jesus. In the present, there may be losing your life. But the truth is you can't go both ways. No man, the Lord said, can serve two masters. You can't serve both the Lord and serve something else. If you go on a hike, it is physically impossible to walk down two paths at the same time. Your legs aren't long enough to go down both. And if you become a contestant on Let's Make a Deal, you cannot say to the host, well, I choose door number one, and I choose door number two, and I choose door number three. They're going to say, friend, you either fish or cut bait. It's one or the other. And Martha had it right. She had it right. She said, Lord, I know I have to go with you. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who is coming into the world. And St. Peter, the fellow our church is named after, he had it right. He got a lot of things wrong, but he had this one right. When everybody else is leaving the Lord Jesus, they don't like what he has to say. His disciples are abandoning ship. And Jesus says, are you going to go too? And he says this. He says, where else would we go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else are you going to go? A child of God wants to be with the Lord. A child of God wants to be with the Lord in glory. But mostly a child of God wants to be with the Lord. Even if, and it happens at times, rarely, but it happens, even if you lose all else, even if you lose mother or father or son or daughter or your own life, the Lord says, you'll find it again. You'll find it again in life together with me because I, your Lord Jesus, am the way, I am the truth, and I am your life. And you can say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God who is coming into the world. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.